The reading tonight is from Psalm 102, verses 23 to 28. He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. O my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days. You whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we sit in your presence, would you speak to us through your enduring word? Would it be a light to us, a lamp? Would it give us hope? Would it be our joy and our song? For Jesus' sake, amen. Here's a question for you. Does anyone know what the Queen of Sciences used to be? Does anyone know what subject used to be called the Queen of Sciences? Theology, well done. Theology used to be called the Queen of Sciences, the best subject anyone could ever study. Today, theology has a somewhat different reputation, not just at the University of Leipzig. If I say the word theology, you may well think of words like dry, dusty, academic, ivory tower, irrelevant, boring. Nowadays, some of us, I suspect, think that reading IKEA instructions is more relevant, more interesting than theology. Some of us would say this. Thank you for your honesty. Others of us think this when we say something like, yeah, but what does that mean practically? I just want something practical. So are we wasting our time together as we think about God tonight? Wouldn't it be more practical for us to spend half an hour thinking about what Jesus says about being a student, or what Jesus says about money or marriage or anything like that? Listen to these words from very old words from an African pastor called Augustine. O God, he wrote, O God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. In other words, Augustine says, if you and I spend our time only thinking about things that are practical, we are going to be enslaved to stress, to restlessness, to angst for the rest of our lives. If you and I want to know deep peace and solid comfort and real joy, we need something better than what is practical. We need to know the God who created us, the God who created us for himself. And actually, the truth is, no one is more relevant, no one is more exciting, no one is more interesting and awesome than the Lord God. And so tonight is our great privilege to look together at God's character, and particularly to look at the fact that our God never changes. Our God never changes. Let's look at that together. Firstly, God's being never changes. God's being. Psalm 102, particularly those verses we just heard read, compares you and me with God. And what's one of the biggest differences? One of the biggest differences is that you and I change. We change all the time. Just look at some old photos of yourself. There's the proof. Sooner or later, change becomes final change, doesn't it, as well? It becomes decay. And the psalmist alludes to that in verse 23. Sometimes God breaks our strength. He shortens our days. He takes us away in our youth. In other words, sometimes the reality of our change becomes an early death. But whether it's sooner or later, all change for us gives way to death at some point. Not so for God. God has no body. He is spirit, and therefore his being never ages. He never weakens. He never decays. Look at how the psalmist speaks of God in verse 24. You whose years endure throughout all generations. In other words, God lives forever. He doesn't get old. Eternity does not weigh him down. His eyes are not dimmed. He does not need glasses. He will never need glasses. His hearing does not grow weak with age. He is not past his prime, and his back is not bent with the years. God is eternal, eternally strong and unchanging. His being is just as mighty today as it was 2 million years ago and as it will be in 20 million years' time. God's being never changes. And because that's kind of a hard concept for us to get our small little heads around, the psalmist paints various pictures in these verses for us to try and get a grip on this. So think with me of the oldest thing that you know. Older than your first mobile phone. Older than anything in any museum. Think maybe of the Earth's core underneath us, a couple of miles down. Or think of the billions of stars. These things are ancient, aren't they? And yet the psalmist says they are young. They are at kindergarten age compared to the Lord. Look at verse 25. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. God made them. He was there before them. And the glorious reality is that in this life and in all eternity, you and I will never see anything older than God. Another picture. Think of something permanent. Something that isn't here today and gone tomorrow. Maybe again you think of the earth under us or the sky above us. Maybe you think of the sun or the mountains. Compared to God, they're like last year's snow. Gone. Look at verse 26. They will perish, but you will remain. Another picture. I'm very happy to see that we're all wearing suitable clothing. I don't see anyone in shorts this evening. Well done. Even I have had to give up wearing shorts this year. When you put on your jeans this morning, was that a struggle for you? When you put on your pullover or your jacket, did you have to sit down afterwards to catch your breath? No. Well, the psalm tells us that it is easier for God to roll up this universe and change it than it is for you and me to put on our coats. Verse 26, they will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe and they will pass away. But you are the same and your years have no end. Friends, no one outlives God. Every now and then, someone will say, either as a joke or because they're so convinced of it, God is dead. But everyone who says God is dead and tries to deliver his eulogy dies themselves, turns to dust, is forgotten, and yet God stays alive, unchanging. He never becomes anything. He always is. His being never changes. Now, I just said God never becomes anything. Some of you might be thinking, wait a minute, what about when Jesus came to earth? The Son of God became man. Larry, you're talking rubbish. God changed. He became something. Maybe this picture will help a little bit. My bike in coming to church this evening, my bike is now covered in mud. That's what happens when you bike through a park. My bike covered in mud has not ceased to be bike. It is just as bike-like as it was before it got its new coat. It's bike, covered in mud. Well, in the incarnation, when the Lord Jesus became man, He took on our humanity without changing his divine nature. We say that Jesus is truly man and truly God. Those two natures exist together but are not mixed together like a cocktail. Jesus' divine nature as eternal God was in no way diluted or changed when he became man. He took on humanity without changing in his divine being one bit. And if you think, wow, that's deep, yeah. And the good news for us, because God never changes, the good news for us is that you and I can rest in a God who will never die, a God who will live forever, a God whose being does not change, which means his arm is always strong to save, to keep you, to defend you, to guide you, to help you. So firstly then, God's being does not change. Secondly, God's character doesn't change. God's character doesn't change. There's a Simpsons episode where Bart is complaining about his father, Homer Simpson, and about his father's failures. And Bart says, "I want a father who's the same in the morning as he is at night. Oh, what's the word?" And his neighbor's kids helpfully tell him the word is consistent. He wants a father who's consistent. That's who God is. Because his character never changes, God is consistent. Have a look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 with me. You don't need to turn to it. The next slide probably should be that verse up there. And the different verses we'll look at tonight will mostly all be up there. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. The context is God rebuking his people because one minute they love him and obey him, the next minute they've turned their backs on him. And once again, God contrasts his character with our character. And what's the difference? "I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." God is consistent, his character never changes, and therefore his people are not consumed. They do not perish. Friends, this means that maybe you struggle with the God of the Old Testament. Maybe you think the God of the New Testament is nice, but deep down you have doubts about the character, the goodness of the God of the Old Testament. Yet if God does not change, "I, the Lord, do not change," then the God of the Old Testament is just the same as the God of the New Testament. He is the same in his love and his faithfulness and his justice the whole way through the Bible. This is how James chapter 1 verse 17 puts it. And again, the verse will be up there. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." No variation in God's character. No change whatsoever. Now that doesn't mean God is boring. That means he is eternally consistent and that he has no dark sides. You will never discover something about God which he is ashamed of, which he would rather you didn't know. God has no skeletons in his closet. His character is totally good and eternally good. As James puts it, God is the giver of good and perfect gifts. That's who he is. It's who he's always been and always will be. God's character doesn't come and go like the seasons. It doesn't get hot and then cold. God's character doesn't change. This is what Jesus teaches too. Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, "Your heavenly Father is perfect." Your heavenly Father is perfect. If God is perfect, that means he has no need to change. He cannot change for the better because he's already perfect. And he cannot change for the worse, for then he would no longer be perfect. "I, the Lord," Malachi 3, "I, the Lord, do not change." To dive in a little deeper, and this is where it does slightly get more complicated, this applies to what we call God's emotions. This applies to what we call God's emotions. Strictly speaking, God does not experience emotions like you or I do. For one thing, he has no body that will kind of produce them. If God did experience emotions like you and I do, then he would experience change, and he does not change. Rather, God always loves what is good, and he always hates what is bad. He is unchanging in his love for the good and his hatred of what is bad. And he does not change in that. And therefore, God doesn't suffer either. God doesn't suffer. If God was to suffer, he would be experiencing change. And actually, if God was to suffer, he would ultimately depend upon the suffering of this world being relieved and redeemed for him to be happy. And God would no longer be the sovereign Lord. He would no longer be independent of us. He would depend on us for his own happiness. But in and of himself, God does not feel pain. He does not suffer. Our sins and our sorrows do not give God mood swings. You're never going to turn up in prayer at God's doorstep for God to be too busy with his own sorrows to do you any good. Because he in himself, in the Trinity, is absolutely happy and content and complete. And because he is that, because he is unchanging in his character, in his love, in his self-sufficiency, he is able to save us. He was able to send the Lord Jesus down to earth for us. Jesus, who took on human nature, not only to suffer with us, but to completely identify with us and suffer for us. Not just to sympathize with our pain and our sins, but to, at the cross, through his death, to redeem us from them. To triumph over them and put an end to them one day. Friends, the news that God doesn't change, that his character does not change, that he never suffers, is good news. Because if God is consistently joyful, he has always got joy to give you and me. He will never be so preoccupied with his own pain that he cannot help us and rescue us. Because God's character never changes, you and I can depend on his care day in, day out. God's being never changes, his character never changes. Thirdly, God's word and his will never change. God's word and will never change. Children are pretty forgetful. Think back to when you were a kid. Think of all the things you forgot. You forget to brush your teeth, to clean your rooms. Honestly, you forgot. You forget to do your homework. But if an adult even hints at the possibility of there being ice cream in the next 24 hours, most children develop almost miraculously some form of photographic recording memory. And if you don't keep the promise of frozen fat and tastiness, but you said, woe to you if you change your mind. Woe to you if you keep if you don't keep your word. And of course, as adults, we all do that from time to time. We say one thing, we do another. Sometimes there are good reasons for it. Circumstances come upon us that we did not expect, that we did not plan with. We're forced to change our plans. Sometimes as well, if we're honest, we're just not willing to pay the price of keeping our word. It's more convenient to say, you'll get your ice cream another time. But God is not like that. God knows the past, he knows the present, he knows the future, he holds all circumstances in his hands, therefore he never needs to change his mind. He has no reason to change his plan, he has no reason to change his will, and therefore no reason to change his word. Which is why we read in Numbers chapter 23 verse 19 the following. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man, that he should change his mind. Has he said, and he will not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not fulfill it? Do you see again in this verse that there's that same contrast and comparison being drawn that we saw in Malachi and we saw in the Psalms as well? There's God's character and there is our character. And part of what it means for God to be creator and not a creature is that he does not lie. And he does not change his mind. Has he said, and he will not do it. What he speaks, he does. And because of God's sovereignty, because of his knowing all things and holding all things in his hands, God is never frustrated. Nothing ever happens which he is not reckoned with. Nothing ever happens that takes him by surprise, neither your sin nor your suffering. Which is why Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17 can speak of the unchangeable character of God's purpose. What is God's purpose like? What is God's plan like? Unchangeable. And again, this is where it does get slightly complicated, because at times, if we're honest, it looks like he's changing his mind. Let me give you one example from 1 Samuel. If you wanted to turn to this one, that would be 1 Samuel chapter 15. Sorry, I forgot to look up the page reference. 1 Samuel chapter 15. In 1 Samuel 15, God makes Saul king of Israel. And in verse 10 and in verse 35, God says that he regrets making Saul king, which sounds suspiciously like God changing his mind. But then in verse 29, we read this. The glory of Israel, that's another term for God. The glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret. Verse 10, verse 35, God regrets making Saul king. Verse 29, God is not a man, God does not regret. When you read something like this in the Bible, let me suggest to you that it is always charitable and wise to assume that the author is not an idiot and he knows what he has written in these verses. He is not contradicting himself, he is wanting to make a point. What point is he wanting to make? Well, I think in the context, it's not that God has changed, Saul has changed. God wants a king after his own heart. Saul started off like that. He started off by obeying God. And yet by chapter 15, Saul has gone off the right path and has started disobeying God. Saul now stands in a different relationship to God. He no longer stands in God's love for what is good. He now stands in God's displeasure and hatred of what is not good. So who's changed? Well, it's not God, but it's Saul. And what does God's attitude to Saul look like from a human point of view? Well, it looks very much like regret. But again, so that we don't get the wrong idea, verse 29. The glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret. God's will never changes. The unchangeable character of his purpose stands strong. And because God's will never changes, therefore God never takes his words back. God's word never changes. This is Isaiah chapter 40 this time. Isaiah 40 verses 6 to 8. All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, it verwelkt. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. God's word never changes, it stands forever. We just sung about that. Do notice, by the way, here, there's that same creator-creature divide that we saw in the Psalms, that we saw in Numbers, in 1 Samuel, in Malachi, and in James. All flesh is grass. That's you and me. But Isaiah doesn't say God stands forever. He says God's word stands forever. The prophet Isaiah wants us to see that God's word is an extension of who he is. It has the same characteristics as God himself. God's word never changes because God never changes. What does this mean for us? Well, what God judges in the Bible is still what he finds bad today. God's warnings in the Bible are just as relevant and as urgent as when he first gave them. There is still judgment to come after death. So there are warnings for us. There's also encouragements for us, because what God promises in the Bible still is true for today. His promises are not like those long-forgotten coupons that you find at the bottom of a drawer and think, oh, wonderful, a discount on Pete, it's out of date. God's promises do not go out of date. God's gracious promises carry you and me today just as they have carried God's people in the past. That's why it's so encouraging to read Christian biography, because the God who took his people through life and to glory in the past is the same God who takes you and me through life to glory now. God's promises remain true. His word remains true. Let me say as well, if you're not a Christian here tonight, please do see both the warning and the hope in this. God never changes means God is never, ever, in all eternity, going to turn a blind eye to the fact that you have not loved him as you should. He will not do that for anyone. But that God never changes means that his offer of forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ will always be sufficient if you turn to him. Because Jesus died in the place of sinners, because Jesus paid the price of our sin and paid off our debts towards God, we can be accepted. And if you don't know Jesus, you need to know that he will have you, he will accept you, he will forgive you, he will reconcile you to God and give you an unchangeable relationship with him, if you ask him to. So we've seen that God's being never changes, we've seen that God's character never changes, that his word and his will never change. This gives us immovable hope. This gives us immovable hope. That's what Psalm 102 does with this truth, isn't it? Psalm 102 verse 28, God never changes, therefore the children of your servants shall dwell secure. That's what Malachi does. I, the Lord, do not change, therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. It's what Numbers does, it's what James does, it's what Hebrews does. God's character never changing is wonderful news for us, because it means our hope cannot be taken from us. If you put your hope in the Lord Jesus, it's not like when you buy a lottery ticket hoping that you're going to win. I mean, there's a small chance you might, but really the odds are stacked against you. If you put your hope in the Lord Jesus, that hope will not be disappointed. The fact that God never changes means we have immovable hope. It means, for example, when we think about prayer, if God hears Jesus' prayer, he is going to hear the prayer of everyone who prays to him in Jesus' name, because God doesn't change. God is not like a chameleon changing colour. He is not like the princes and kings of this earth who one day say yes and the next day say no to the same request. If God never changes and he shows mercy to you and forgiveness to you, then the words of Psalm 23, goodness and mercy are going to follow you and chase you and hunt you down all the days of your life, because God doesn't change. If you're in Christ, God's love to you is never going to change. God is never going to love you more than he loves you right now if you're trusting in Jesus, because God cannot love you anymore, because God's love does not change. He loves you to the full, and therefore he will never love you less. Not today, not tomorrow, nor ever. He will never tire of doing you and me good. And though you and I forsake God and abandon God and betray God for our idols day in, day out, God will not leave us. Our faithlessness will not break God's faithfulness. And doesn't that unchanging love make you want to love him all the more? Doesn't that steadfast, consistent kindness make you want to praise him and make you want to live your life for his honour and his glory? Let me read again a verse I read earlier in the service, Isaiah 54 verse 10. For the mountains made apart and the hills be removed. You think this creation is steadfast? One day it will depart. But my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. You and I can rest on our unchanging God. Hundreds of years ago, a British pastor called Stephen Charnock weird and wonderful name, described our restless, our frantic busyness like this. You and I burn with a desire to settle ourselves. We are consumed by that desire. But we mistake the way. And so we build castles in the air which vanish like bubbles of soap in water. To the extent that you and I are not putting our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are building castles for our comfort and security, but they are castles in the air and they are like soap bubbles. Because family change, health changes, finances change, our bodies change, governments change, jobs change, relationships change. You and I change. God never changes. Let's pray. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around we see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you never change. Amidst all the changing uncertainty of this life, you remain the same. Thank you, Father, that though we do not know what is going to come tomorrow or next year or at any point in the future, yet we do know that you will not change, that hope in you is not a waste of time and is not foolish. Heavenly Father, you see how we so often try and build those castles in the air, how we bank on and build on things of this creation which are so full of change, which never stop changing. Heavenly Father, in your kindness, would you so assure us of your unchanging goodness that we build all our hope on you. In Jesus' name, amen.